not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keen,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
We're here with Christine Imbruglio.
Nailed it.
Close enough.
Nailed it.
You did it right the first time.
Yeah, we're getting the head shake.
Yeah.
From Mr. Imbruglio.
Yeah, this is a head nod. All right, we're sitting down today with her. And again, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for joining us back. Christine's a recovering addict.
Recovering. I don't think I ever will truly recover.
How long you been clean now?
I have been clean since March 19th, 2017. So 2.5 years.
Awesome. Good. So we're going to get into that story with her. We're going to start out with Jeremy's going to go through the Gorilla Gauntlet.
So the Gorilla Gauntlet, we have 10 rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Quick as they come. Okay. And feel free to say pass.
Oh, God.
Married or single?
Married.
Any children?
Newly married.
Adopting a son.
Oh, congrats. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite movie or book?
Oh, shit. The Boondock Saints.
Okay. Favorite genre of music?
Gangster rap.
Yes. Any certain time frame?
I love this. Yeah. I love when rap comes up.
Because I always ask.
Larry used to be a rapper.
Oh. Yeah, 100%. So old rap or new rap?
Yeah.
All of it, really. I like techno too, but depends on what mood I'm in.
All right, what's a good new rap? I know this is Gorilla Gauntlet. It's supposed to be fast, but
listen, just calm down.
Yeah.
He's such a stickler for the rules. Who? Okay.
I didn't even say anything.
Who's the newest rap artist that you like?
That is good.
Post Malone.
Is he a rapper?
He's like an auto-tuned rapper.
I don't like the mumble rap because I can't understand what
like
they're
saying.
Like
the trap music stuff?
Get your man. Like that sort of thing?
Like, I don't know. I forget the name of the...
Get your man. Is that... Are they good?
It's the trap music stuff.
Don't they have like a chop suey song or something like that?
Chop suey?
No, that's...
Stir fry. Yes, that's stir fry.
I don't know.
Wait, what?
Yeah, have you heard the stir fry song?
Just hungry now.
No. Me too. It's not good.
But
you don't like stir fry?
I have heard...
I love stir fry.
I can't tell you any of their music, the Migos, but I have heard good things about them as a group though, like how they... Said they come up together, like they were raised together. They weren't going to leave each other behind.
Yeah.
Like,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Their music is garbage.
Yeah. I completely agree with that.
Right on. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
No worries.
Go to the gauntlet.
Reservations or just walk in?
Just walk in.
And she's a server. Okay.
So if you had a group of like 10 just walk in, would you be frustrated? Would you have appreciated a call ahead?
It happened all the time. You just roll with it.
There it is. Just roll with it, Keen.
I appreciate it. Hey, I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone. I'm working on it.
Yeah. By the way, Keen.
I'm a big reservations guy, but here's why. Because there's like 10 or... Shut the fuck up. There's like 10 or 15 of us that will show up at a restaurant. And I'm like, we should call ahead. And they're like, nah. And then we're there for 2 hours waiting. So I feel like...
Enjoying each other's company. Right. Building relationships.
Right. We could do that at the table while we eat, and we're not hangry, though. So
no, nobody's hangry.
Favorite type of food?
Bring some cashews.
Tacos.
Oh, yes.
Did you see our last video?
No.
We are big taco fans in here.
Oh, gosh. You got to watch our last. You got to get on our YouTube, Full Gorilla Life on YouTube.
Yeah.
You should check it out. Yeah,
or Instagram. It's in our IGTV. Yeah. But anyways, we did have some, we made some skirt steak tacos.
Oh.
They turned out pretty good.
We tried making
And we
the
say
actual...
we made, we mean Larry and Tom, our buddy Tom. Corey and I kind of supervised. He ended up getting the hot dogs together and then we all ate. So, see, what do you drive?
Well, I don't drive. I don't have a license, but I just got a new Mitsubishi Eclipse crossover.
Okay.
Crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Crossover is
like
kind of
an SUV. They just slapped like the name of an Eclipse onto an SUV.
Okay. SUV / kind of hatchback. Like hatchback.
No, it's an SUV.
Oh, right on. I haven't seen those. I'll have to check it out.
It's pretty.
Mm. All right.
City you live in?
Melbourne.
Awesome. All right. There we go.
You live in downtown Melbourne? Or
no,
like?
I live in Lake Washington, off of Lake Washington and Wickham, like okay. Melbourne.
So so can we talk a little bit about like, so you don't have a license, right? Mm-mm. How much of a pain is that?
Well, my lovely Nick, he helps me a lot. My mom helps me a lot. I Uber. Okay. It is a pain, but I've been lucky enough to be able to get by. You know, if I want to go to a meeting, I have friends that will pick me up.
That's awesome.
It is a pain. I kind of was in the process of getting my license and going through the last step. I in my active addiction, I got 2 DUIs. And not for drinking, but for being under the influence and being high. So I lost my license and I was on the final step of getting, you know, the ignition interlock and everything. And today, because I had to change my name for the license, was told that I was habitualized. So now I can't get my license. So now I have to wait a whole another year to get my license.
What does that mean? You got married, you have to wait a year?
No, because I changed my name. Okay. Oh. So I went in to, they told me that while I was there. So totally unrelated thing, but they were like, oh, you know about your license? I'm like, what are you talking about? So I'm habitual driving offender, meaning okay. I not only is my license suspended, but I also like to drive while my license is suspended. So I've gotten too many felonies by driving while my license was suspended and driving in the commission of a felony. So I just like to rack up charges.
Okay.
So but, you've had too many convictions of driving while your license is suspended.
Right. So that made me an habitual offender.
And then what gotcha. they label you habitual for what, 5 years?
This is for 1 year.
Okay, for 1 year. Yeah. And then you can get your hardship or you can get your...
I can get my hardship after a year. Okay.
And the hardship means that you can drive to and from for work and like necessities, but not necessarily for like pleasure.
Right. And meetings is considered your church, you know, like sustainable, what is it? Life sustaining, you know, kind of thing. So grocery shopping, taking school.
So you got just a full year then mm-hmm. before you can get it?
Yeah. So that kind of
at least it's a countdown though.
Right.
You know it's coming.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. I get my money back, which is cool. So that never happens. It's their mistake and they're like, we'll give you your money back. I've never seen this happen. I'm like, thanks, Jesus. Of course it would be me.
Yeah.
That happens too.
I mean, I've had members of my family that have been labeled habitual and had to go through, get their hardship license and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, it really doesn't take a lot.
Like
3 convictions within 5 years that's of driving exactly on suspended, what it is. Which that means your insurance could elapse 3 times in 5 years, like, and you can get labeled habitual. Yep. And then if you're driving on it and it's habitual, then it's a felony conviction.
Right.
And they'll yank that stuff for life.
Yes. Well, and that's the kind of information that, like, I wouldn't know. Like, I would think that you did and something drastic.
The only reason I know it is because my family members have gone through it, you know? And the family member that went through it, it was, you know, his 3rd conviction was, like, within days of being outside the 5-year range. Mm-hmm. Like, if he would have waited to pay it, like, a couple of days, to reinstate his license, the conviction would have been outside of that 5-year range.
And he would have been fine.
Yep.
But he had to wait longer because of that.
Yes.
Oh, that's not... That's
fantastic.
Like, they couldn't just say, come back in a few days?
No, it's kind of it's a flawed system because nobody talks to each other.
I got
you.
The safety council, the DMV, and the clerk of courts are all 3 different entities, and they don't talk to each other. So one will flag, and then, you know what I mean? So it's just a flawed system.
I can see that because even something as simple as I had a business, I closed it down. I got a sales tax thing. I closed down the business with the state, and I still got a sales tax notice that I owed them money. I'm like, close it down. They're like, oh, we don't talk to each other.
Yeah, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for...
Now pay us this fine.
That's exactly what I did today.
I mean, I know. Yeah. Oh, today?
Yeah, it was great. It was a great day.
That's right on. I thought you were talking about old.
No.
Yeah,
that's great.
So that's great. To kind of go into some of your background,
mm-hmm.
you're a recovering addict.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of, you said 2.5 years?
Mm-hmm.
How long prior to that did you have some of this kind of ongoing process? I don't really know a lot about addiction. I mean,
maybe we could start off with like,
yeah, we could just kind of,
how did it all start?
Right. Well, I started, you know, smoking weed when I was like 13, you know, to kind of like fit in eighth grade. The cute boy on the bus had weed, you know, so kind of just to fit in, I started smoking. And then by the time I was like in high school, it just got, I was, you know, moved on to cocaine and ecstasy and, the harder drugs. And I still was able to get good grades in school, did it kind of like on the weekend.
So you wouldn't do it throughout the week, just on the weekends?
I probably did, but I can't really remember, you know, specifically, but I remember doing it on the weekends and, kind of just getting, you know, skating by. And I dual enrolled while I was in high school for cosmetology, and I got my cosmetology license before I graduated high school. So then when I got out of high school, I started doing that, and I kind of, you know, started to get deeper into the doing it every day, you know, and it was slowly, you know, taking over my life. I was working to support a drug habit. I didn't have any bills. You know, I lived with my mom. So I started to get arrested and then arrested more frequently and getting put on probation and not being able to stop smoking weed so that I could pass a drug test, because all of my charges were drug offenders. So I was always getting drug tested. And when you violate probation so many times with new charges and with, you know, dirty urine, you build up prison points. And eventually I went to prison. And I did a year and a day in prison, which ended up being like 7 months in prison because I waited to get transferred while I was in Sharps, which is our jail. So I spent so much time in jail that prison time, I was really only there for like 7 months.
What was your drug of choice whenever you graduated high school?
Well, when I graduated, it's always been cocaine and like Molly, like uppers kind of thing.
Did you drink a lot too then?
I didn't. I never really drank. Drinking, my grandmother is an alcoholic, so I never really drank. I don't know if like subconsciously I like saw her and, you know, she was like a functioning alcoholic, and just didn't really go to that. I liked getting high. I liked the feeling that it gave me.
Yeah.
And drinking, I didn't like the taste of it. I didn't understand mixing. You know, I wasn't like into it like that. But I liked.
Because a lot of times, high. I mean, at least in my personal experience, when I've seen people that use a lot of cocaine, a lot of times they're alcoholics too. Did you see that a lot?
Well, I would drink when I was doing coke because I could drink more. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. Like I wouldn't get like toasted. I would be able to like kind of maintain. But I don't know. I just never really went that direction. But I liked getting high. And then once I came home, when I was in prison, that was the longest I had ever like been clean. You know, I was really just...
Did you get high at all in prison?
No, I didn't know. I kind of stayed to myself, you know, like you make friends or whatever. But I was too afraid to get high in prison because I couldn't enjoy it. You're like worried about who's watching you, and girls are fucking jealous. Like they're mean. And if you don't share with them, they're going to tell the COs. Like they're going to rat you out. You know what I mean?
Did you find that it was violent inside of the prison?
I saw some things, but it was mostly for stealing or for being a bully or things like that. But I never got involved. I was there for such a short amount of time that I wasn't like tatting bricks on my face or anything. I was trying to just get home.
Did you see a lot of tatted bricks?
Oh yeah. You see a lot of prison tattoos happening like in the shower or like in the bunks or whatever. You see a lot of girls like tattooing eyebrows on.
And Jeremy's got a prison tat.
Yeah.
He does actually.
But he got in eighth grade.
Yeah. Okay. That's another story for another day.
But I had such a short amount of time that I was there that I was really just trying to get home. You know, I was not trying to make it, a lifestyle kind of thing. It was.
Did it change your ways at all going in there for 7 months?
definitely. I think I came back hardened. You know, uh-huh. I wasn't, I had to act tougher than I really was. And I definitely came home. I've been to prison, you know what I mean?
So you felt like a badass when you came out?
Yeah.
So you feel,
I feel like a prison does that to people though, right? Like, and it's almost, it's such a negative, like, because you have to feel that.
You
like,
do.
You almost you have to, your, wear it like a badge of honor, because the other way is shame, right?
Right. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, it kind of puts you in that corner where it's like, yeah, you got to pick one, shame or a badge of honor.
Right. And I did it as a badge. You know, like when, yeah, I came home, the boyfriend that I had the whole time that I was there, they threw me a coming home party. And like, I thought I was like, you know, Sons of Anarchy, like the girlfriend that went off to prison. Like, I thought I was super hard, and I was not. I was just this sad little girl that couldn't fucking stay clean, you know, that it was just flawed.
Yeah.
So you're in prison for a year and a week, right? Is that what you said?
Year and a day gives you prison time. And if it was like less than 365 days, you would, that's considered county time.
Gotcha.
So they gave that day, sends you to prison.
What prison did you go to, by the way?
Gadsden. It's in the Panhandle. So
all the way up there.
Mm-hmm. And... okay, so I showed Nick a picture of Gadsden, like, online, and it is the prettiest prison that you could ever see. It's a brick.
That's interesting.
They're brick-like buildings, and it's minimal security, so you have to have less than 15 years to be at that camp. And once count is done, they unlock the doors, and you have free reign of the entire, like, campus.
So in regards to a prison, it's like a nice prison.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 5-star prison.
Yeah.
For lack of a,
well,
you
I've
know.
Never, yeah. Yeah. A pretty prison. I've never heard that description. No, me so neither. That's why I'm very intrigued. Yeah.
Everywhere. It's definitely look like a college campus, but it was definitely structured around rehabilitation, you
which
know,
is awesome. It was,
yeah. If you took that and ran with it, you know what I mean?
So you now were clean for a year and a day. Sorry, go ahead. No,
I was going to, this probably maybe the same thing. I was going to say, when you came out, did you end up getting back into the normal?
Absolutely. I couldn't wait. The whole time that I was in jail or prison, I was thinking of getting high. I couldn't wait.
So when you thought that, like, what were you thinking exactly?
I tried to stay clean. I didn't know what staying clean really was, you know? I just was like, okay, you know, I have a chance. I could not use, you know? And then I went straight back into my environment. I went straight back to the house. I went straight back to my boyfriend. I went straight back to that lifestyle. So I stayed clean. I did not ingest any drugs for 2 months after I came home from prison, but I was in the lifestyle. I was still robbing people. I was still doing everything, you know, selling drugs. I was still in the middle of everything. I just wasn't using yet.
Which is almost like a ticking time bomb. Really,
oh, for sure.
You're in that.
Seeing it back now, you know, like, it was only a matter of time. I'm almost like surprised that I waited that long, you know,
sure,
to get back into it. And once I got back into it, I was done.
And I feel like that's the most important part, right? Is like, if you want to get clean, like, you have to really see who's around you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like what your
people, places, and things is
running with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I used harder than I had ever used before. I introduced needles
when you came back.
When I came home, yeah, I started using needles.
Why?
Because he had started using needles
while I was away.
Yeah, and that's where my drug. I wasn't getting high enough the way I was using before.
Yeah, see, like I feel like that's the one that would scare me.
Right.
So
out of anything.
Right.
You know, don't get me wrong.
Using needles.
So you were cocaine going into jail, but ended up switching over and going into the.
I was still doing cocaine. I was just shooting up. Okay. Yeah. And I was shooting Molly. And I kind of done some heroin here every now and then. But like, that wasn't my thing. I like to be up and I like to party. And Molly is a party drug. Mm-hmm. So it was. I don't know.
And this is just like a personal question, or if you're into cocaine and into shooting up Molly and stuff like that, do you look differently at the people that are doing heroin and like sleeping? Like, are you like, do you look down on those people?
Yes.
Like,
do certain drugs? But I did. Like
you like, they're so fucked up.
They're
like,
fucking
they're just
junkie. They would steal, and you know, they would steal from me, or they would be asking for crumbs. And I mean, I was like, because
cocaine's a high class party drug.
Oh,
right?
For sure. You know, Scarface did it. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. So it was
actors,
like,
right?
I thought I was super top dog. I thought I was like on top of the world.
Like, you do cocaine on a private jet. You don't do
or yachts.
You don't.
Shit.
Yeah, you don't do heroin. Like, they're not doing heroin. Like,
no.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. I thought it was super dirty, and then I felt dirty doing it because It makes you feel different. You're like, you nod and you do, you just act differently.
So it affects you differently with a needle than if you were doing it where
right.
You're snorting it.
Well,
or
no, she's talking the difference between
no,
heroin.
Coke,
oh,
yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
And then I started getting into pills. Like then I, you know, after the coke and Molly, I got into, you know, oxys and.
But that's closer to the heroin. Then.
It is. And I just kind of did whatever I could get my hands on. It didn't matter.
So at some point you just started spiraling out of control.
And do you feel that it was because of the pills?
I think it was everything.
You just kind of
were
like.
What's the easiest thing to get a hold of? Would Oxy be kind of one of the things?
Depending on the time, yeah. Because at that time when I was in the thick of it, it was the boom of the pill mill down
oh, okay.
south.
Yeah. Okay.
So everybody and anybody was able to get pills, and they were like, it would be insane if I told you the, like what I was getting prescribed, and I have zero back pain. You know what I mean?
So you would go down to the quote unquote pill mill down mm-hmm. south, and that's how you would just get it, just because you'd walk in and be like, hook me up. And they'd
well,
be like,
no, I had a doctored MRI. You know, I had an MRI that I had paid to get messed with.
Yep.
And then take that. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be walking. You should be in a wheelchair here, you know, and then just, you know, prescribe you. And then, you know, I would sponsor people that would do the same thing and they would have to pay me back. It was like a whole
ring.
Would
you say
sponsor?
Pay you back. Can you?
So, okay. So like, I would pay for your doctor's appointment. I would pay for your prescription and you would get your prescription. I would pay, you know, whatever, $1,500 for you to get all of that. And then you would give me either the money back, which you couldn't, or you would give me the pills that equaled that. And then I would take those and I would sell my prescription, your prescription, I would sell everybody's prescription.
Does that happen a lot where people have different prescriptions? They start trading. Oh, I can give you 10 and then you can give me 10 back when
Absolutely.
You get them. And then,
you know,
people fall into a deficit, if you will. And do people end up, is that where sometimes, oh, I can't get them back now and now I'm short and I don't have mine. Does that put them into like an ODs type situation or where they get kind of, I don't have them and then they have different, I'm trying to think of how I'm trying to say this. I apologize. Withdrawal? Yeah, like a withdrawal symptoms and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. And then you're on to the next thing that can make you feel better. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, heroin, which is cheaper. But it was like a vicious cycle that I just could not get out of.
Gotcha. So do you put any of the blame on the doctors then? Of those pill mills?
Yeah. I mean, I do, but it's just like any business, you know what I mean? It's just like anything. I mean, now the new thing is Suboxone, you know, now they're just switching. They're just a different mask. They're
What's
just
that?
Wearing a different mask. Suboxone is a drug that you can take to, it's like a drug replacement therapy is what it's called, DRT. And it gets you off of heroin or opiate withdrawal. It has a blocker in it. So if you were to use an opiate, it wouldn't allow you to get high. So it kind of helps you stay clean. I have my own beliefs in it. Mm-hmm. I didn't use that to get clean.
How did you get clean? Well, I'm sorry. What was your aha moment?
My aha moment was, I think I wanted to die. You know, I couldn't continue to use And every time I used, I wanted to die. And when I didn't have drugs, I wanted to die. It was like, no matter what I did, I just wanted to not exist anymore. And I think I was in this toxic relationship with my boyfriend at the time, and it was very physical and violent. And I wanted him to kill me, but he wouldn't. And I thought of killing him and like being able to get away with it, just sick shit. And I finally called my parents, who had cut me off. And my stepdad answered the phone and picked me up. And my mom was like, you can't stay here. Like, you need to figure out what you need to do, but you can't stay here. And I didn't want to go back to jail. I didn't want to go back to prison. The only other option was to go to rehab. And I went to rehab, and in rehab is where I learned about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I had never heard of NA before. You know, I heard of AA, but I didn't identify as an alcoholic. So how does somebody who doesn't drink not use like, I don't have a problem not drinking. You could put a beer right there and I don't care. You know, it was drugs that was my issue. You know, so when I heard or when I saw people that were my age, young, coming in and staying clean and had color back to their skin and a like shine in their eyes, that seemed attractive to me. You know, they were staying clean and I didn't know how to fucking do that. So I wanted whatever they had. And I think that was my aha moment, was like, oh shit, I can fucking do this.
Because you saw somebody doing it. Because
I saw somebody else doing it. And I had never had that experience before.
You know what's weird? And this is just my weird observation. And you can shoot it down if you want to. But like as a drug addict, right? Like, they're good. And when I say good at, like they're good at like getting what they need to get the next fix.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If they could apply that towards a business,
they
would be multimillionaires.
Yeah. And I see that all the time now. Like, you know, like I see so many people in our network that own businesses and, you know, like my sponsor, she fucking runs like a, what the fuck does she do? She's like a, she works for like a, like DRS, like Northrop Grumman, like that kind of business. Okay. And she runs the logistics. Yeah, she runs like the logistics of it. She's like a,
but like military contracts.
She's gonna kill me when she hears this that That's I don't okay. know what she does. Like
she fucking
manufacturing manager.
There you go.
I fucking knew I would.
She kills it.
She does that, and like, you know, she does that, and she runs like a business that if you would have told her, or if you would have told us that we were doing the things that we were doing, you'd be like, no fucking way. Right. You know, like they say in our literature, like your lost dreams awaken. You know, if you can just stay clean one day at a time, things that you do out of the ordinary that you would never fucking think that you were able to do, you do. So,
man, so yeah, that's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Are there certain things you got to stay away from
super
now?
Super heavy.
No, it's okay.
It's good though.
Things that I need to stay away from now.
Like, is there anything you're like, oh, I got to stay away from that? Like, I can't.
I'm not going to go kick it at a bar. You know, I'm not going to go to a bar, but I can go to a restaurant and I can serve people beer and wine and mixed drinks. You know what I mean? It's just, you know,
Could you pass on, like, if somebody's passed around a tray of cocaine, would you pass on?
I wouldn't be in that position. I wouldn't put myself in that. I wouldn't be hanging out with those type of people because... Uh-huh. I know that's not where I want to be today. You know, like I know
that's understandable. I'm just wondering, like, have you gotten to a point like mentally where if it came up, do you think you could pass on it?
Probably not. I don't know because I've never put myself.
I'm just
in
that saying,
position.
Like, you know, people hear this interview and they're like, "Oh my gosh, Christine, we need to write a book." And you're flying on a private jet. So a lot of people listen to this.
You're flying, America. You're flying America's on a, listening to this.
Yes, America. So you're flying on a private jet out to LA because that's where everything happens, I guess. I don't know. And they're like, "Oh, you want some cocaine?" And you're like, "What the fuck? That's what we're writing the book about, me not doing cocaine." So do you say, "What the fuck? No, I don't want that cocaine." Or are you like,
"Damn."
Are you like, "Damn, that looks like high grade cocaine."
Let me just
Of course,
try
they're
it.
On a private jet, right?
Have you
gotten to that point where you're like, no.
I'm yeah, because he's obviously down.
I feel like you'll never hear this scenario again, by the way, I feel. So that's good.
Yeah, no, I am not. I think today that I am past that because what I have going on in my life far outweighs what drugs could ever give me. I'm gonna be honest right now. I'm gonna pull my fucking card. Today when I had got that news about the whole license shit, I have never wanted to get so high in the 2.5 years that I have been clean, wanted to get high than I did in that moment. And I like cried out in the car because I was silent the entire time that we were leaving safety council. I was silent. I was just holding in my cries. Like I was just angry and I just burst out. I want to get fucking high right now. And he's like, "Well, you're not, we're going to go get something to eat and you're not going to get high today.
Just take a
we
moment.
Got shit to do. So like you're not going to get high, but I wanted to get high so bad. And it was like, I'm doing everything. Everything fucking right. You know? And it doesn't fucking matter.
At some point you reach that hill and it's just, it's going to be great.
Right. Yeah. And it was just, you know, it's my disease. My disease is with me all the fucking time. And it's just waiting for that moment where I'm like, fuck it. My disease wants me to say, fuck it. And it's like, yes, bitch, we're going. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Fuck you. Fuck your mom. Like, just we're going. And that is how anger takes me out. People, you know, they break up with somebody and that takes them out. A death takes them out and they relapse, you know. But like my thing is anger. That's
and,
my thing.
And all of those things, like, you know, and shoot the messenger, if you will. But to me, those are all good excuses to do the wrong thing.
Right. They're reservations. Yeah. That's what we call them, like in NA, is like reservations. Like, what are you holding on to?
Yes.
In order to, like, what is the one thing that no matter what, hands down, you will use? And like, you know, relapse has not, like, somebody else's that's close to me relapsed and I didn't use. Death didn't make me use. The death of my stepdad in June didn't make me use. You know, my fucking license, I wanted to get high. Dude,
this is kind
of it's kind of like that breaking point, if you will, but it's just an excuse.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is kind of a sidebar conversation, but as I'm listening, I think about this. Do you have any advice for your support people, your parents, your husband now in this case, that signals or things that they would want to maybe be aware of, to where if I see something like this, like, we might need to be aware? And I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I think about people that
like my behaviors.
Just
like,
I think of people that I knew in high school and in college that went down the wrong path, didn't even know anything until it was too late. So are there things that maybe that support system, those parents even, that, because you said you started smoking weed in eighth grade,
right,
that they might see, or, and there might not be, but
I mean, I don't really
know.
More
of
a, I think
talking,
about that too, because like we're adopting a little boy now and he's 9. So like, what do you do? Like, mm-hmm. even in my network, there are 2 parents that both have substance abuse, and now, you know, their kid is growing up in Narcotics Anonymous meetings. So like, what do you watch out for? And it's like, I don't really know, because some people can smoke weed and they leave it alone. Some people can drink and never touch it again.
That's,
you know, so
point.
It's like, you just, I don't know, to say that if I never would have smoked weed, would I be this way? Or if I never, you know, never hung out with that boy in eighth grade, would that have happened?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
What I'm
that's
saying?
A good point.
So
you
it's
never,
like,
you can't,
I never
make those
really know, but I think that, you know, maybe if you know, my, if you have like a good support system, you know, I used drugs for a long time to numb myself. I got outside of myself. I could be whoever I wanted to be, you know, and, I have a single mom, you know, a dad who left me when I was three and started this whole other family, you know, with three boys and his wife. So it was like, what about like, what sure. the fuck? You know what I mean? So I think it was a lot of like home life mm-hmm. that I didn't know how to like cope and process, which made me kind of fall into drugs because that like, it made me feel better. It made me.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't really know. I just know that like moving forward, Nick and I are going, I mean, I feel like I'm going to be like this fucking hawk with Charlie, like just making sure everything is good, you know, but I just think, you know, love goes a long way, you know, love and compassion and understanding goes a long, long way.
Do you feel that now that you're going to adopt, is that raise like anxiety towards like the possibility of relapse, or does that make you like more of like, you know what, I got this even more? Like, right. Do you feel like that gives you more of a reason?
For me, it does. Because I don't just have, you know, myself to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like I have this little boy who looks up to us, you know, I'm responsible for him.
You have all the answers now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's
fucking scary because he's nine, you know, and we don't have other children, you know, we kind of just skipped that whole part, you know, but it is scary. Thank you. it's get your fucking shoes on. We're going, yeah. You know, yeah. But
and,
it's,
and he knows what shoes are.
Yes.
That's huge. By the way,
he knows what Jordan's is. He yeah. knows what his shoes are. Yeah, but it's, he's very self-sufficient.
I had a cousin who OD'd on Thanksgiving Day, heroin, and has two kids,
yeah,
and now has to live with grandma. And so the fact that you have been able to get past that and now you can bring someone in and be an example of how to overcome that type of thing is very, I feel like, I, you know, that's pretty empowering of what you've been able to do. So
awesome.
I commend you for that. I think
Thank
that's pretty
you.
Powerful.
Thank you.
I do have one question for mm-hmm. you. I know we gotta wrap up here shortly. You feel like you started with weed. What is your stance on legalization then? Because I know it's a big question.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard
for me. Do you want to legalize?
Hell yeah. Okay. I want to, because I
do you think it should be legalized?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it should be legalized because had I not, like, that's where all of my jail time came from in the beginning. You know what I mean? So I started going to jail for weed. And I feel like if I would have gotten stopped or spoken to or misdirected, instead of just sending my ass to jail every, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like all the time. It was like, I don't know. I feel like if there was some sort of like stopping point to kind of misguide me to the other side, I feel like there's so many people in jail for the smallest things.
And people don't believe that, but you know, it's such the truth that, you know, people are like, oh, nobody goes to jail for weed. Maybe not right now,
yeah, in first
today's
time.
Or right now in today's, but going back 10 years ago, people were still going to jail for 3 grams of weed.
Yeah. And then
like right now, nobody's going to jail for 3 grams of weed. But like 10 years ago, you were going to jail for 3 grams of weed.
Yeah.
Because it was so negatively looked at.
Yeah. The negative connotation on it. And listen,
meanwhile, I could have a whole beer can.
And I don't want to smoke, but I am like the big proponent of legalize.
Right.
You know, like, or at least decriminalize.
I am.
Right.
You can go after the dealers and all that kind of stuff, you know, like a Portugal model, you know, type of stuff, you know, but like,
it's, if you looked at all the people that were in jail and then, you know, then, okay, so they get, you know, arrested for weed and then they're on probation and then they're not where they're supposed to be for probate, or they don't get a job fast enough, then they are VOP'd, or they don't pay a ticket, then they're VOP'd, and it's just a recycle, a vicious cycle, and you feel like you can never get out of it, and then you're like, I'm a waste of space, I can't ever get a job now because of,
and
it's like a...
And
that's a great point.
I think you need that somewhat. Listen, I'm not saying to get rid of all that, but you, whenever it's something minor like the weed is, like, don't stack that on top.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep breaking into houses, like, I don't want you breaking into my house.
Right.
Because you're going to catch, you know, the wrong end of a pistol.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to have to do that to anybody, but you're not going to violate my space or my house or my family.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, as, if you're smoking, you know, if you have a dime bag, like, I never understood the point of sending somebody to jail for a dime bag.
It also depends on the cop too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's obviously, yeah, and, you know, and, we've all dealt with.
And to your point of like the vicious cycle, it's very much like the poor person. Like, it's really hard to get out of poverty when you're in deep poverty. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept once you've been tagged on, right, with going into jail, and it's just really hard to get out of that mess. And that's
because there's a mindset too, because you get in the, you, like you said, you go to jail so many times, you get in that mindset, like, I'm a waste of space, I can't do this.
Yeah. So what's the point of doing the hard work if I can't even get out of it?
Right.
Yeah. And same thing as the poor person. You get in that mindset, there's no way I can get out.
And it's hard.
There's no way you can get out.
And people look down on that, but it's really like something that a lot of people don't think through, and how hard it really is to get out of those scenarios. So I commend you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, for doing that.
Thank you.
And I do have one final question for you. And of course, my face ID is not working for me right now. But listen, based on your experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you can give to our listeners?
I think the biggest piece of advice I can give is to ask for help and not feel like you're a waste of space or that you have so many cards stacked against you that you can't get out. You know, I think we're in this time that you just, you know, especially with mental health awareness and addiction is so, you know, rampant. It's not as shameful as it used to be. You know, if you need help or you don't know where to go next, you know, just ask for help, 'cause there is hope. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it sounds so cliche, but it's, you know, if you, you know, just anything that you put your mind to, you can do.
Awesome. I have one more question.
Oh,
yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. So what is your outlook on life now versus what it was 2 years ago?
My outlook on life is hopeful and grateful, really. If you would have told me 2 years ago where I was going to be today, I would have told you no fucking way. No way. But I definitely think just hopeful and really, really grateful for where I'm at today.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. We really think you're an extraordinary person, Christine.
Appreciate you coming in.
No, seriously. Like, you know, I appreciate you being honest. I appreciate you being open, and hopefully this helps out a lot of folks because we know quite a bit of addicts. So thank you so much.
Welcome.
We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. If you guys got any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us at Instagram and Facebook at Full Gorilla Life, and on Twitter at Gorilla Full, like beautiful, but with a gorilla.
And also feel free to visit our website at fullgorilla.life. And please hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Oh, and follow us on YouTube as well at Full Gorilla Life.
Nice.
Adios.
Thanks for listening.
Later.